You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere, Miss Ellen.
That's right. All over the World Wide Web, 1510wbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, there we also archive all of the shows by date. And then we share it on all of our social media under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And, of course, our website, SitaMediaInc.com. 15 years running strong. Dun, dun,
dun. Thank you. Dun. So today is no different. Our show is always so action-packed. But I must say that I had a lot of fun prepping for today's shows because the two guests who are here today are people that I appreciate for what they do in a community. Kerry Fink is here, and he is the Executive Director of Seniors Helping Seniors. And he's going to be chatting with us on the second segment about an event that's coming up at the Muscle Car Museum, what they're doing here in Brevard to help our elders, protect them from abuse. Everybody knows that everyone is concerned about elderly abuse when it comes to financial fraud. Children are abusing their own parents at times. And the classes that they're given to help the seniors, whatever they need in Brevard, we are really helping. Correct, Kerry?
You said it so well.
That's right. And our first segment is none other than our own sheriff. Sheriff Wayne Ivey's here. He is the top chief law enforcement officer here in Brevard County, Florida. And I have to say that Sheriff Ivey and I go way back because of the American Businesswomen's Association. I'll never forget the day that I met Sheriff Ivey, and he was doing a lot of work back then with the human trafficking, right? Yep. You remember that?
Yep, absolutely.
And we welcome you to our show.
Great to be here. Don't get to be here enough.
That's right.
I get to come by every now and then and spend some time with you. But I want to, before we jump in, talk about some of the stuff you guys want to kind of get together on. Kerry and I have worked together for a long time as well. And what he and his team do here for seniors in our community is absolutely amazing. If you haven't been to the Muscle Car Museum yet, you want to make sure and make that event because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been there before and I like the cars, except my husband always wanted to buy one, so I got to run away home. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time, we've been on air for 14 years. Ellen O'Neill is my right hand. She's my co-host. She's also a singer. She has her own band. A little plug for Ellen.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Allie Tambor is here. Allie is like our resident intern, and she co-hosts when Ellen is not here. And we have a good time talking to people about our environment, financial literacy, credit card debt, buying a home, raising children, running for office, whatever it is you want to talk about. If you wrote a book, you want to write a book, you didn't write a book, you have an issue, you've been abused, whatever it is. It's kind of fun. When you hit the age of 60, you know that 2/3 of your life is technically gone. So the other 1/3 is, what do you do for humanity? What kind of footprint are you going to leave behind with the experience that the good Lord has given you to leave something behind? And for me, working with America's seniors for over 37 years in nursing homes, being a long-term care nurse, it is priceless. It's the best form of education I could have ever had because I talk to a lot of people and I learn from them. And you know what, Sheriff? We have a guy who's a retired cop, and every day he says to me, put your hair down. I'm like, I can't. I'm working. He's giving me a bun. He goes, you look nice when it's down. Look, mind your own business there, sir. And then he comes up to me with his wheelchair later on, and he says, are you going to put it down? No, I'm not. And then the guys, you know, men in uniform. What is it with the men in the uniform?
Listen, I don't know.
He still thinks that he's in uniform. He said, I was married a few times. I said, I could tell.
So I just want to say this. I'm not buying into that. 2/3 of my life is gone. I'm 62, and I'm only halfway, so I
don't. Oh my God! Well, from your lips to God's ears, I hope you never end up with diseases and things, because you know, I look at the people with Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. and you know, their long term memory, their short term memory is gone. They're all looking for their brothers and sisters who are gone,
yeah.
and it's torture. But you're right. You know, when I say that, my kids are like, don't say two-thirds. I'm like, but I'm Hindu. and that's what I, you know, it's a once a man, twice a child kind of thing. You know, it's coming. Two things are certain in life, right? Birth and death.
That's right.
And then what you leave in between.
Yeah.
So talk to us about Brevard. I met a nurse yesterday, and she told me that because of your leadership and your guidance and the safety net that you have created here for us, Sheriff Ivy, in Brevard, she moved here. And she was compassionate and sincere. And where she came from, she said, it seems as though the law enforcement officers don't have a grip, a handle on what's going on with crime.
Yeah. You know, we hear that a lot here. People are moving to Brevard County for a lot of reasons. One of them is knowing that it's a safe community. But we hear that a lot, that where they're coming from, whether that's New York or Seattle or California, wherever they're coming from, that law enforcement has allowed crime to run rampant. And I have this thing that I started saying a while back, and it is that crime will rise to a level a community will tolerate. And in Brevard County, we have zero tolerance for crime. As I tell everybody, if you spit on our sidewalk, we put you in jail. We have a beautiful area. We have a safe area. We have a place that people want to come. And the thing that I've learned in this job is when people start looking at moving and picking the area they want to move them and their family to, you know, there's all sorts of stuff, all sorts of things going on in the national media and everything else. But if you put 100 people from all different walks of life in a room and said, what's truly, truly important to you? They would tell you that them and their family being safe, educational opportunities for their children, good employment opportunities, good economy, housing, good recreational opportunities, and pets. That's all people really care about. And when you look at those boxes in Brevard County, we check every one of those boxes.
Right. You know, and well, you just did the job for a real estate agent. Because when we moved from Chicago to Indiana, of course, Indiana was, I was like the darkest girl in the area there. But they treated me very, very nice. And so my children, too. Amma did his residency, and then he got a job at Marion General Hospital, the ER. And you didn't have to worry so much in the suburbs about those things because everybody was so family oriented,
right,
in Marion, Indiana. But when we moved to Florida, those were the things that were important. Crime, number one, the location, the schools.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, people don't understand this, but we pay taxes and that taxes help run our school. So when a law enforcement official comes in and say, we have to talk about our schools. Why is it people get so upset about when you guys get involved in the school? You have to, because we want our children to be safe in that school.
Yeah, the greatest thing, the greatest gift you can give a mom when it comes to the schools is them being able to look in the rearview mirror of their car after they drop their child off and know their child's safe, you know, until they pick them back up that day. And so taking over district school security was a big thing for us. I wanted it from day one. I wanted to have that under our watch. I felt like our team could do a great job with it. And I will tell you that when I say our team would do a great job with it, I've learned that my greatest leadership quality is picking the right people and getting out of their way, getting them the tools they need, the resource they need. But I knew that was the place we wanted to be. And so we took it over, and we've made some huge changes, even down to the uniform and the way that we've armed our law enforcement on those campuses.
That's got to be a big department for you then.
It's actually become one of my biggest commands. We went from, when we first took over, from having about 11 school resource deputies to I have over 60 of them now.
That makes sense.
And then we also have all of the other schools where our partners at the police departments are as well. Girls. So, you know, we wanted to do that. When you look back after Uvalde, and the shooting that happened out at Valdi, I said, we've got to shift gears here.
Yeah.
And so I changed our school resource deputies' uniforms. I actually went from them having to, if something critical happened, them having to go to their car and get their AR, to they carry their AR strapped right to the front of them now. And when we first rolled that out, my team said, Sheriff, you're going to get a lot of pushback over this. This is not going to go well. I said, I disagree. I think it's going to go just the opposite. When we rolled it out, overwhelmingly people loved it. You know, nobody wants to live in a society where we have to do that, but that's the society we live in. But the number one supporter of it were moms, teachers, and parents of teachers.
Right. And, you know, you often wonder why we even had a pushback with that, right? And I think people were looking at it the wrong way. Oh, he's going to target my kid. He's going to target my area. He's going to target my zip code. But the bottom line is, a lot of us who live in Satellite Beach, Indian Harbor Beach, when we dropped our kids off, we never had to worry.
Right.
Because we trusted Chief Cody back then. Right. I never worried once about Satellite High or Delora. But the thing is, in other areas, people were worried and they were looking at it differently. I think my friend wanted to talk to you and,
oh,
say,
sure.
And tell you that she, my friend, her name is Shirban. She's a nurse. And she wanted to tell you that why she moved to Brevard.
Oh, excellent.
I didn't
great.
Think she was going to follow, but she did. Hey, thank you for calling.
Hey, Ms. Sita. It's actually the end of my lunchtime, so it worked out perfect.
Well, Sheriff Ivy's here with us, and I told him what you said. And you know what? He's been hearing that a lot lately, but it's always good when top officials in our county, especially our sheriff who keeps us safe, for us to tell them the good things they're doing instead of always hearing negative things. And I thought it would be great if you could call in, and you did. So thank you. Go ahead. Take it away.
Hello, Sheriff Ivy. I'm Siobhan. I'm a nurse. And me and my dad actually moved here in 2022. And we were living in the LA County area of California. And it had been years since we felt safe there. And everything you're doing here, it makes life just so much better.
Well, that means the world to me. And I tell everybody, I'm surrounded by a great team. They do all the work. I just get out of their way. But when we hear that, you know, it lets us know that our community is standing with us. And it means the world to me to hear you say that. And I'm glad you're here with us. Brevard County, as you already know, is, I think, the greatest place on earth to live. So, but it's awesome. And thanks for what you do, too, in nursing.
I'm definitely not going to argue with you because, unfortunately, where we lived, meth kind of took over. And then the fentanyl came in, and I saw a lot of my friends get hurt by it. So it's nice to live in an area where they actually, you know, crack down on the crimes that help prevent it becoming just miserable for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just talking. I don't know if you could hear us now, but we were talking about crime will rise to the level of community will tolerate. So many of these communities throughout the country have just turned a blind eye to crime. And once you turn a blind eye to one element, it grows to the next and the next and the next. And before long, you can't put it back in control.
Right. And you know, the sad thing is, once if the community leaders don't step up and nip this, like you said, when we talk about guidance for our children and parents, it gets way out of hand. And then you have politicians fighting each other over who should fix crime. Well, from the beginning, they should have nipped that in the butt.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling, girl. I'll see you at work.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
All
you
right.
Have a great day, and thank you so much for letting me call.
Shavani, all right, it was very nice to talk to you. Thank you.
So, and thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome, babe. So
getting back to the school resource officers, though, I have to say, like in high school, I still remember my school resource officer because you become close to them. And I think that school resource officer also taught respect where respect wasn't being taught in the home.
Right.
And it was a big job for somebody on that particular. So is that happening? And I remember we also talked about this in the little bit of the break about the being a parent again.
Yeah. So, it's time to be a parent again. It's a great program that we put on here. It's for basically during the program, we swear in parents as the chief law enforcement officer in their child's life. And we tell them point blank, if you hold your kid accountable and you teach them responsibility and you do it the right way, and reasonable is the word that I use, we're not coming to arrest you. We're coming to high five you and thank you for helping us because we're all in this together. It takes community to protect a community. But, you know, you talk about you remember your school resource. I'm the sheriff today because of a school resource deputy by the name of Mike Lawrence that got me interested in law enforcement. I became an explorer because of Mike.
Mine was Carlos Rico, if his family's out there.
So,
it's amazing that people do shape your lives.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when they say career day, think about it. It does shape the children's lives.
Absolutely. The greatest lesson I got, though, from what the value of a school resource deputy, you know, having them on the campus to protect against an active shooter is just a small, small part of their role. Certainly the most important, but it's a small part. But the greatest lesson I got came from a guy by the name of Adrian Moss Beasley, who, tell you a quick story. When I ran for sheriff in 2012, Adrian Moss Beasley ran against me for sheriff. And
I was just going to say, I remember that name.
And Adrian was from right here in Cocoa. was a high school football standout, played football for WVU. Massive, massive man. He was about 6'7", kindest, gentlest soul you ever met in your life. And after he ran, he was looking for a job. And I'm like, don't leave. Stay with us. I want you to stay with us. He'd been with the agency for 20 years at that point. So he stayed and became one of my closest friends. But when Adrian passed, we lost him to cancer a few years back. And in Adrian's time with us, he'd been a deputy. He'd been a court security. He had been a school resource deputy. He'd been all these things. And I posted up on Facebook that he had lost his courageous battle to cancer. And we got thousands of comments. And of all the things that Adrian done, working at the port and everything else, the comments overwhelmingly, I'd say 90% of them, were from students and parents that he impacted when he was a school resource deputy. And they told stories of how one kid's father had passed away and Adrian took her to the father-daughter dance. How another kid talked about how nobody would sit with her at lunch and Adrian would come over. Another kid talked about how Adrian taught him to play football because he wanted to play football, but he was too small. On and on and on. And it really, really captured the essence of what these deputies do on these campuses.
I just had a smart mouth and I wasn't a fast runner. So I needed somebody on my side.
So you and I are a lot alike.
So Sheriff Ivey, in 2012, you created the first ever statewide task force on identity theft.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so that was when we created that. I was still with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And identity theft at the time was the fastest growing crime in the nation. Today, it's the most lucrative crime in the world. And so we got ahead of that curve. And the commissioner and I were talking one day, and he asked me, how would we combat it? And I told him we need a statewide task force. And the old thing of be careful what you ask for popped in because he said, good, create one, and you're going to run it. So we created what we called Operation Legit, Law Enforcement Getting Identity Thieves. And it was the first ever statewide task force on identity theft. We put at one time, if I remember correctly, we had a grand jury. The governor seated a grand jury for us. We put at one time, I think, $44 million in fraud cases in front of the grand jury. And it was absolutely, that was within a year. It was a massive ride, and it really kind of opened the eye. We changed the statute of identity theft, how we prosecute it, what the crimes are, and it was really a game changer in the state of Florida for it. But still, today, identity theft, credit card fraud, scams against our seniors, those are the most lucrative crimes in the world.
Yeah, the most vulnerable, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And they're silent.
Yeah.
They are.
You know, it's not like you can point and look and go there.
Right, right. And so many of them now, between the computer and the phone, they're doing it from other countries, which makes prosecution just almost impossible.
Right.
We have a current scam that's going on right now where when you look at your caller ID, it'll say Brevard County Sheriff's Office, which is all AI generated. It's not even our number. And they're telling you that you didn't show up for a jury subpoena and you got a fine and it's going on and on. In fact, my doctor called me this morning and said his wife had gotten this call and he wanted to know, you know, was she in trouble? And I'm like, well, do you want her to go to jail for a couple of days? You know?
And, husband is a far month.
Yeah, he assured me that he did not, but I think she was standing there, so he didn't have a choice.
But Sheriff Ivey, how do you find a time? You're involved in so many advocacy groups for domestic violence, human trafficking, Crime Stoppers, all this, in addition to running one of the smoothest sheriff departments, not just in Florida, but in the United States.
Yeah, so I'm blessed. Our command team, they do the lion's share of the day-to-day operations. You know, I've always felt that my role was to be out here in the community, getting our agents, our detectives, our deputies, our corrections deputies, communications officers, everything they need to do the job. And so I've got great chiefs that, are on top of things. We really subscribe to the it takes community to protect community. We're involved in all the charity organizations, everything else that we can possibly be involved in. Because, you know, I said at the beginning, I think Brevard County is the greatest place to live. If you take one of those organizations out, one of those not-for-profits out, or one little piece of us, we're not the same place.
Yeah, it's
work.
A puzzle. It falls apart.
It is. And so I try to be involved in anything. One of the greatest lessons I got was back during 2012 when I was out door-to-door campaigning. And a gentleman opened his door and he said, I was just looking at your website. I already decided I'm going to vote for you, but I'm glad you're here. I got a question. And I said, sure. And he said, are you going to be one of those politicians that I see every 4 years when you're running for office? And without hesitation, I said, no, sir, I'm going to be the guy you see every day.
Well, you're a people person, too.
So I love it.
You like people.
I do. I enjoy it.
People give you energy.
Yeah.
Especially nice people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
you don't like unkind meanies.
But I walked away from that conversation, and I thought, that's the image that people have of most of our elected leaders.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And so every weekend I'm at a charitable organization somewhere doing an auction. I don't know how I became an auctioneer. I haven't figured that out yet. But
And you're always in uniform.
I'm always in uniform.
You save a lot of money and buy an expensive
car. Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah. My wife literally told me one time all she ever sees me in is my uniform. And she threatened to have me pajamas made that looked like my uniform.
She won't recognize you if you wear a suit.
If I had pajamas that look like this, it'd be awesome. I'd be happy.
So, you know, one of the questions that one of my other friends told me to ask, she said, there's so much going on right now with fear and hate and bigotry and all this in our country, right? And it's not that we are doing it, but other people listen to other people and they do these things, right? And people are concerned, like one person said, her sign was stolen. I said, well, the sheriff can't come and fix your sign. You need to put up a little camera for that. But the thing is, people are afraid because they feel like elections is bringing out the worst in folks.
Right.
How do we say to them that at the end of the day, all of us have to leave a good name behind, a good footprint behind for the next generation, and we are the leaders in our community?
Right.
We, all of us collectively, have to find a way to get along. It used to be you could agree to disagree respectfully, right? Because we are Americans. At the end of the day, when you go in another country and you see the American flag, you salute it.
Right.
That's what we are like after 9/11, right?
Right.
So how can you calm people's nerves to say, listen, which I know you are the sheriff for all of us, but there are some people that they're saying, well, wait a minute, I don't feel safe. Not in Brevard.
Right.
I feel safe in Brevard.
Yeah. So, you know, what I always tell everybody is when you call 911, we don't ask you how you vote. We ask you where you're at so we can come save your life. And, you know, I'll go back to, in I think it was 2016 when President Trump was running and came to Melbourne. You know, we set up an area where those that didn't support him could go and you know, speak their voices and their opinions, but feel safe in doing so, you know, because that's part of our job is to not only protect people, but protect their rights within the Constitution. And we had no problems. We had people that came and voiced their opinion in opposition, and we had made sure that they were in a safe, you know, haven to be able to do that. So what I always tell everybody is you can go to any polling location on election day, and you'll see people standing out there holding signs and voicing their opinion for who they support. You'll even see the candidates out there holding signs. And if you stay there long enough, what you'll see is all of those people talking to each other.
Right.
All the candidates.
Breaking
bread. Yeah. All of those candidates that are in opposition. I remember one time when Todd Maddox, who has passed now too, Todd ran against me in 2012. Todd and I were at an
event
together.
You have a good memory for a 62-year-old guy. Because I can't remember names. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm like, oh, what's that name?
Todd and I were at an event together, and he was in the line first, which was my mistake. I should have never let him get ahead of me in the food line. But Todd was in the food line before me, and he was putting stuff on his plate, and he was talking to people, and I was taking the tongs and taking stuff off his plate and putting it on mine because he wasn't paying attention. And we're sitting at the same table. Here we are both running for sheriff, and we're sitting at the same table, and he's laughing, man, you stole my bread and stuff. And when we left, I got a phone call from one of my supporters that tells me, man, me and so-and-so just had a huge falling out and a big fight, and, you know, he's supporting Todd, and I'm supporting you. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You guys work together. You go through doors together. Todd and I were just sitting there stealing food off of each other's plate.
Yes.
And you guys are fighting over it. It's not about that. Politics is never supposed to be ugly or dirty. It's about electing the right people to represent the community, everybody having a voice. And after that person's elected, everybody needs to get behind
them. We have to go back to normal.
Right.
You know what I say to people? You still have to wake up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, go to work, make your money, pay your taxes, and live.
Everybody that ran
against me. The politician is not coming to do homework with your kids.
No, exactly.
Like somebody said, oh, Joe Biden did this and Trump did this. I said, listen, you think former President Trump or current President Biden is coming to your home to do homework with your kid?
Or they're not even thinking about it.
You think they're coming to mow your stinky grass that you let grow for 6 feet in your house looking like a dump?
Yeah.
No. You need to learn to buy a lawnmower, go mow your grass, plant some flowers, do homework, and stop worrying about those people. They're not worrying about you.
Everybody that ran against me in the first campaign Adrian's passed and Todd passed, but cancer got both of them. But the others, they all worked for me after the election. I didn't get rid of any of them. They all worked. They were all great cops. They all had already been at this agency for a long time. Somebody else may have come in and said, you guys aren't working here anymore because you ran against me. But to me, my job, the moment I got elected, was to heal the agency and put everybody back
together.
Well,
you're comfortable in your own skin, Mr. Wayne.
Oh, yeah, and I got a lot of it.
Yeah, you're comfortable and you're confident in what you do, right? And that brings me to our next question. Oftentimes, people blame a politician or a community leader or the teachers for their home. And every time you come on our show, you talk to us about family. You talk to us about being the top cop in your own home. Right. Talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sina and Friends. Why, and this time in history, it is imperative, because we're watching what's going on all over the country with people falling from the Me Too movement and all these kind of things. What can we do as citizens to ensure that America goes forward in a good path?
So, you know, the first thing is to, as a parent, we're, you know, we are responsible for raising the next generation of parents. And so I think that's probably the biggest responsibility we'll ever have in our lives. And so I want our parents to teach their children right from wrong, hold them accountable, teach them respect, teach them to respect themselves. You know, my mom and dad always told us, if you don't respect yourself, you won't respect anybody else. And so, and certainly our mother. My father told us, son, you ever raise your voice or your hand to your mom, don't be here when I get home, because it wasn't going to be pretty. So, you know, I think that's the first thing. We got to get respect back in. Second, we got to get people to understand that it's okay to have a variance of opinions. It doesn't mean that their character is flawed any more than it means our character is intact. It's everybody has their own opinion. The other part of this, too, is stop trying to change people's opinion. You know, I always laugh because I'll go to speak at a political club and I'll say, you can tell the other side 100 times your facts, your thoughts, everything else, and they're not going to change. And then they'll grumble, oh, well, they should. Okay, well, they're telling you the same thing. Have you changed? Well, no. You're not going to let people have their opinions. Let people be who they want to be. But at the end of the day, understand that we're all in this together. We all go to the same churches. We all go to the same schools. We all go to the same parks. We all go to the same movie theater, same restaurants. And at the end of the day, just be a great community and have fun. That's the biggest thing. People take fun out of politics.
Me too.
Yeah, I love it.
That's why we get along so good.
But it's also emotional maturity and confidence to know that, again, I'm not going to change anybody's opinion. I just have my own opinion. I can just be fun and hopefully maybe somebody
sees.
But
you know what you can do? You know, I always say like this, I'm on vacation on planet Earth. God sent me here for a certain amount of time. And this is his planet, and I'm having fun.
That's awesome.
Every day I'm having fun, right? Yeah. But this morning I was coming. I spent the night with baby James. I was a grandmother last night. And on my way back, I saw my car says 3 tires are under 27%. But my Infiniti, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to come to my car. So I pulled over at a gas station. There's a guy with a Trump hat and a T-shirt. And I pulled up there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to ask him if he could help me. He doesn't care who I am, right? So he said, of course I'll help you. Came right over, and then I offered him some money for helping me put this air in my tire. He said, no. He said, that's what we do for each other.
That's right.
We help.
And that's a great analogy.
You know?
I not long ago, well, it was actually back in 16, I put up I think Trump was our president at the time I put this up, but my wife had bought me a float for our pool. And I put it out there, and I took a picture, and I said, man, I didn't think my pool could get any better. Well, a little bit later, I got a flag, and I put it up, and it was a Trump flag, and I was wrong. My pool is better now. And a guy goes on there. He was a friend on Facebook, and he goes on there, and he goes, oh, man, you just messed up your pool. I would never swim in that pool. And so I went on there, and I said, what if I was grilling steaks by the pool? And he responds back, okay, I'm back in. And somebody went on there and said, oh, my goodness, this is the way politics
Yeah, I mean,
be.
I remember right. when I ran in 2018, CETA for state rep, there were 2 snakes by the pool. So my husband wasn't home, so I ran out the gate, and I saw this guy with this President Trump stick on his little go-kart, and I said, do you like snakes? He said, no, but what's the matter? I said, there's a couple of snakes by my pool. He said, I'm not voting for you, but I'll come and get rid of the snakes.
Fair enough.
He said, I'm not voting for
That's
you.
That's a good trade-off in my book.
But I'm coming. So him and his kids and the wife came, and they got the snakes, and they didn't kill him.
Yeah.
He put it in a little cup, and he took it with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he waves at me every time. He goes,
so
hi.
I don't know how much time we'll have, but if I'll
we'll
share
give
a story.
You a few more.
I'll share a story with it. My father taught me. My father had me involved in politics at a very young age. I was born and raised in a little small town called Green Coast Springs, Florida, up near St. Augustine, up near Jacksonville.
Been there, done that.
And my father had us when I was 5, 6 years old. We were out putting up signs. We were going to political rallies, everything else. So I was destined to get into this in some way. But the thing that was really cool back then, if you did it today, people wouldn't understand it. They would probably be upset. But my father was the public works director for the city. And on election day, he would have a load of dirt delivered to the fairground, which is set right across the railroad track from the supervisor of elections. And, of course, when I say back in the day, they were writing the results on chalkboards, not even dry eraser boards.
Right.
And so as the elections were tallied and the winners were announced, the winners would go across the street to that pile of dirt, and my dad would have like 10 shovels out there. And they would take the old campaign signs, they would turn them over because they were only one-sided back then, and they would write epitaphs on them and little poems, and they would put up there. So if you lost, they would take the shovels, make a little makeshift grave, and they would put a tombstone there with a poem on it. You know, here lies Ivy. You know,
so
after the election was over, winners and losers would all walk through the political graveyard, and it was the most unbelievable, surreal burying of the hatchet you could have.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next day, everybody went back.
They were calm.
Yeah, and I'll never forget. In one particular election, they had buried my dad. He had lost. He wasn't running, but his candidate had lost. And they had buried him, and he was like, I am a big old fella. And so they had a grave there with a belly on it, and they had a sign there. And then on his sign was a little arrow, and pointing off to the side was a smaller grave with a belly on it. And it says, and here lies his little fat son. And, and my dad hits me on the shoulder. He goes, look here, boy. You done made it. You in politics now. And I'm like, I'm dead.
You know.
But it taught me it's not personal when it's over.
You bury the hatchet and move on.
Like
me, I called Fat Altman when I lost, and I said, congratulations. I went to work as a nurse the next day.
Yeah.
That's it. So we have a couple of minutes left. And you know what? What can we do in Brevard to ensure that you have enough money in your department, in your agency, to hire more deputies, resource officers? What can we, because you know, you always hear about people needing money, but you've got a budget as well.
Yeah, so
and you have to manage it well.
I do. And so I have a great relationship with our county manager, Frank Abate, our county commissioners. We're about to see a new wave of county commissioners come in, but I have a great relationship with them. And, you know, one of the things that I always try and do as an agency head is understand that mine is not the only budget they have to fulfill. So I work my budget from my wants and my needs. And those are never the same. You know, and I always tell everybody, I want a Rolex, but I need a watch. That's my analogy of things. So I work my budget in that capacity, and I understand that there's only a certain pot of money out there, because Brevard County is the only county in the state of Florida that has a charter cap. And so our millage rate can only change 3% at the most. So if I suck up all the money, whether that's from new construction or that's from this, then there's no money for infrastructure. There's no money for parks. There's no money for libraries, those type of things. So I try to be a good partner. I make sure that we have the tools.
And you downsize where you can too.
I do.
I noticed you have that.
Yeah. We're very, you know, I try to be a good shepherd of the taxpayers' dollars, and, but we work in it. When we've had to go to the commission and say, I've kicked the can as far down on the road as I can, I need this. They've been able to deliver it for us. And so, you know, the biggest challenge right now is getting our deputies more money. And it's not just that they deserve it because of the amazing job they do. We're competing with the surrounding counties of Orange and Osceola that are
paying
10 and 15,000. And you can still live in our county and work over there and drive their patrol car back.
Uh-huh.
So that's the challenge, being able to get
Let us know here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends where we can help with that. And another question that someone told me to ask you about, you know, what happened in Alabama this weekend with these guns? That's not going to come to Brevard, is it?
I didn't even see it. What was it?
4 people got shot.
Oh, the guy
makeshift gun, they said.
Yeah, so you have to look at, you know, active shooters are, first of all, an active shooter is one of two things. It's either somebody with a mental health issue or evil in their heart, or a combination of the two. And so I always tell people, you know, we live in this safe community. Our crime rate in the past 12 years has dropped 52%. But you cannot exclude the potential for an active shooter. And as evidence of that, if you lived here in 1997, there was an active shooter in Palm Bay. If you lived here in 2015, there was an active shooter at the Melbourne Mall. A year later, there was an active shooter at Parish Hospital. So you can't discount just because you live in a safe community that you won't have an active shooter.
Yeah, because it said this guy was able to take the gun and turn it into one of these rifle, one
probably he probably
AR where you can kill multiple.
Messed with the firing pin and was able
right,
to make
that's it.
It.
So, yeah. I don't know much about guns, but that's what he did.
Yeah, so
and I was
you
hoping
know,
you wouldn't let that happen here.
Well,
would you?
I can tell you, we take every precaution to keep that from happening. Our schools certainly, as I said, we change things in our schools so that our team has the ability to respond immediately, not have to run to their car and get an AR. And then one of the things that our team does well too is we provide to businesses, to daycare centers, everything active shooter training, so that we're teaching people what to do in
and
the event something
for.
And what to look for.
Yeah.
Even down to I'll be speaking to about 300 realtors coming up.
Good.
That's a good idea.
Why do you think, Sheriff Ivy, that people are so angry? I mean, you've told us before, sometimes you have to stop and think, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people just don't do that.
Yeah, I mean a lot of people will tell you that people are angry because of the economy. A lot of people tell you they're angry because illegal immigrants. But when you peel back the layers of the onion and you look, generally speaking, there were a lot of warning signs. If you go to Parkland and look, that was an individual that should have never been out on the street where he could harm those children down there. Uvalde's the same thing. So generally speaking, there are warning signs, and that's one of the things that our analytical team does here, is we're looking for those warning signs.
If you see something,
those continued responses and calls for service to things. That we're looking at.
Yeah, you've always taught us if you see something, say something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're right, mental health, that brings us, I mean, we have mental health funding and provide, but that's always need for more.
Here's the problem with mental health in my book, and I think most everybody would agree with me. Our mental health system in this country is broken. Throw the baby out with the bath. Let's start again. I think when we started putting more emphasis on the economics of mental health, than we did on the quality of mental health, we lost. And, you know, going backwards, every state had a government-run mental health institute. My parents used to threaten to take me to ours all the time. But, you know, we threw that away because we could save money going into, you know, privatized and stuff. And we're blessed here in Brevard. We have, you know, great mental health facilities. But when you look around the country, a lot of places don't have that. And so somebody that's needing mental health treatment is falling through the cracks because they're not getting into the right facility or they're not a facility available to them.
Yeah. And also, you know, like triggers, right? Certain things trigger people.
Oh, yeah.
Like I know in our family, when we have a gathering, we know what triggers each other.
Right.
So we don't say it. Because you might say something, next thing you know, people are
gone. Yeah.
You eat that food by that curry chicken is going to stay there.
Yeah, so like
they're
at
gone.
Thanksgiving.
They'll get in their cars. Bye.
Yeah,
just
Thanksgiving.
One little thing.
Yeah, Thanksgiving,
politics,
my brother and I aren't allowed to talk
it.
About politics because my brother is complete opposite of me when it comes to politics. So we don't talk about politics, at least not in front of everybody. Then we go out back and we do it.
Yeah.
I was gonna
All
say,
right, well, we got one minute left, and I want to ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Right here.
Okay.
I will tell you that I love this job. I get up every day, and I can't wait to put this uniform on. I'm surrounded by an amazing team. We're surrounded by an amazing community. People ask me all the time, would you consider running for another office? Absolutely not. My whole life, this is what I've wanted to do. I think sheriff is one of the most impacting jobs in a community.
I think it's the most
and,
important.
Yeah,
I mean, I slept
so,
with the,
I
all
it.
The garage open the other day, and I'm like, good.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Well, I forgot.
Don't be silly.
Yeah.
So. And if somebody wants to apply for a job or volunteer or learn a little more about the sheriff's office, what's the website?
Yeah, brevardsheriff.com.
Okay.
Yeah, go to brevardsheriff.com. We are hiring in a lot of capacities. You know, we just opened up our unified communication center, so now we dispatch for not only law enforcement in the county, but fire rescue in the county as well. And so we're hiring dispatchers, telecommunicators, and it's a beautiful facility not far from us, right off of Huntington over in Rockledge at the EOC. But we're hiring deputies, corrections deputies, all of it.
So keeping
volunteers.
Our county safe. Yep. Taking care of our pets.
And jobs.
Yep. Taking care of our kids.
Yeah.
Making sure that
jobs
our seniors
and
are jobs. Absolutely.
And an advocate for everything from human trafficking to them. He's wonderful. So, you know what? I know that elections is coming up, and I don't know if anybody's running against you, but whatever it is, you are going to win because we believe in you.
Yeah.
And you are the kind of person that when we go to bed at night, we're safe because of you and your team. Right. And you do have a great team,
I
by
do.
The way.
All absolutely. Of them. They're amazing.
So thank you, and thank you for coming on our show and being part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Always. You have me back anytime you allow me to, and I love you guys. You and I have been friends for a long, long time.
But we are leaving a good footprint behind.
That's right.
When,
that's
we
right.
Go, so, when we go wherever good people go, we'll say, hey, I cooked fried
right.
chicken so. And invited everybody. And you know, people ask me all the time, aren't you afraid to wave signs? I'm like, no, because you guys have a perception of crazy things. I'm not. I know I'm protected and I'm safe.
That's right. That's
right.
Because
I believe in the freedom of speech and democracy, and I do believe this is the greatest country in the world.
Well,
I do believe it.
I used to always say that as sheriff, my job is to protect what I call the three C's, our citizens, our cops, and our Constitution. I've had to add a fourth C to it, and that is our critters. Those are the things that we protect. And you know, when you're out there and you're holding up a sign and you're voicing your opinion, our job is to protect not only you being able to do that, but your rights to do
that. Right. And say again to the listeners who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends before you leave, why it's imperative that the day after elections, life goes on.
Oh, absolutely.
Cut it out.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
everybody.
Cut it out.
Yeah. You know, ideally, the person that's elected is going to do such a good job that the following time you'll support them. And you know,
the incumbents,
that's the hope, that's the optimism, right? Yeah,
thank
so you. But yeah, so it's you know, it's interesting. When not a few years ago, we unfortunately had a deputy that was killed here, and we went up to Washington, D.C. to the police memorial week, and President Obama was in office at the time, and he came out on stage, and there was probably 3,000 people in the audience, and to my dismay, nobody stood up, and I stood up and I had our team stand up and while he was speaking, and one of my team asked me, they said, you know, you didn't support him in office and everything. I said, he's our president. It's the office that you respect.
Yep.
You stand for the president, and you know, you may not agree with their policies, you may not agree with what they're doing, but that office is what makes this country what it is. And so, you know, you have to have that respect. So that trickles down to every aspect, whether it's Congress, it's sheriff, it's whatever. You should at least.
It's being a human being.
Right.
You know, yes. Like my grandson last night when I said, you know, baby James, I could drive back at 9 o'clock at night, but I'm afraid it's so dark. And he says, well, you could pray to Lord Krishna and he'll protect you. And Maddie prays to Jesus and he protects her. So you have both of them.
You can go to both of them.
You go to both of them. I'm like, okay, you got it all figured out, little boy. And you're only 3 years old.
And we have a Sheriff Ivy too. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for supporting us and being on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're going to take one quick sponsor break and we'll get with Carrie Fink right after this.
All right. Thank you guys. Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for
located
a taste
in Titusville,
Louisiana?
Florida, Dixie Crosswell Financial
has
been serving
as
a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive
relationships.
There's
something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and every way on God's magnificent planet. Ellen, take it away because Carrie's waiting.
I know. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button. Get us on any one of your listening devices. Of course, then we share all of our archive shows on our social media platforms and our website, which is cwmediainc.com. And Mr. Kerry Fink, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, what a pleasure to be here today, especially just sharing the studio with Sheriff Ivy. You know, he's such a blessing in our community. We were talking before he got here on the air. He helped us last year with our major fundraiser, the Helping Seniors Car Raffle, which you know winds up at the American Muscle Car Museum. And so a couple of the ladies on our board of directors, they had each picked out muscle cars they like, and they were just like, just basically, to cut it short, drag racing around Mark Pylock's test track. And we'd set it up that Sheriff Ivy was going to show up in his police cruiser and pull him over on a private road. It's still out there, DodgeVersusChevy.com. You got to go watch it. It's so funny.
That's
wow. It's good. And you know what? It worked. The universe really works in alignment, right? Because Kerry was postponed a few times, and then I ended up having him with somebody he admires.
Right.
So let's talk about seniors helping seniors. And how did you get involved?
So, you know, it's an interesting thing. My background was actually in radio and TV and that side of it. And so we had a radio and TV studio down in the Palm Bay area. And one day this gentleman comes in, Joe Steckler, retired Navy captain, the same Joe Steckler that created the Brevard Alzheimer's Foundation. They call him Joe's Clubs these days. He wanders in off the street and he says, Kerry, he said, I want to start a charity that we can do more work for seniors. He said, I learned that a lot of seniors and their families have cognitive challenges, but he said every senior family needs help because they run into situations they don't know how to maneuver. And he said, I'd really like to start this. And he said, I really want to do the best I can to use media to get the word out. So I volunteered to help Joe. Today, Joe is 90, going on 91. He's president emeritus now. And you guys may know Jennifer Barton. She's been on the board with us.
Yeah, she was on our show a few months ago. Yeah.
She's terrific. She does more in this community than most people realize behind the scenes, helping us. She's helped with Brevard Triad. We're taking over the senior Santa program this year so that we can make sure we're on that side of it too. But anyway, so Joe said, it's time for me to pass the baton. Jennifer, you're going to be the president for the organization, the nonprofit, and Kerry, you're going to be the executive director. So now we're all doing the best we can to honor and build on the legacy that Joe set in this community about looking after seniors.
Yeah, he lived in my neighborhood. I know him very well. So here's the thing. Everybody talks about the golden age, right? And the golden age is coming if we're blessed to live.
Right.
And seniors helping seniors, you guys offer a lot of services. Talk to our listeners a little bit about some of the services that someone can expect when they call that number.
Absolutely. We get calls about everything, housing, legal, financial, medical, transportation. We even had calls when we were talking about pets when Sheriff Ivy was here. We had during COVID, you know, one of those most surprising calls was from seniors saying they weren't worried about trying to get out to the grocery store to get groceries for them. They were concerned about their four-legged furry friend. And so we get calls about everything. What we do, we call it senior navigation. And last year, we took over 5,500 calls from seniors and families about everything. And that's our little niche, is we're trying to help basically advance the case, whatever it is, whatever they're facing. We have a lot of calls these days about housing. It's a challenge for a lot of seniors who are literally becoming housing insecure. You know, it's great we have a booming economy, but sometimes it can have some side effects. We see ourselves trying to work our way through those. But the main thing that we see most of all, and this is probably the most important, you know, I always joke, we live here on the Space Coast, so we literally are dealing with rocket scientists every day, brilliant people. But, you know, you could be the smartest person in the world, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, Sita, but, but, you know, when you run into an aging issue for the first time, you have no frame of reference. There's a lot of pressure to try to make a decision that's really could be life-altering, like what's the right thing now that this has happened.
Yeah, you break one leg or one hip, and that's it.
Everything
goes
changes.
Downhill, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, brilliant people, not just the seniors or spouses.
They don't know where to go.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. We always have line item for when we have elections. People talk about the children, the environment, you know, housing, education, planning families. We should have something for seniors.
See, I'm 100% with you. Joe has always talked about this. This is a statistic. We quoted like this before
like
we got on the air.
A quarter cent sales tax, or half for seniors.
You said it well. 25% of our population here in Brevard County is over 65. And literally, if you're over 50, you're considered a senior by AARP. They will send you a card on your birthday, whether you're happy about that or not. And that's half of our population here in Brevard County. But here's the thing. We were saying this. There's three factors that seniors are growing like crazy as a demographic. Number one, it's the baby boomers. Everybody's turning 65 at an unprecedented rate. But here's the second thing. People, and you understand this probably even better than I do, people are just flat living longer. It used to be unusual somebody would make it into their upper 90s or early 100s. It's not unusual. It's all over the place. And then the third thing that's really important is we live in Florida, and I was so happy to hear Sheriff Ivey talking about this in the first part of the show, is we have so many people coming in from so many states. This is a place where people want to move to. So the need for senior services is great, but here's the thing. Think about how much money we raise as a county for kids. We love our kids. We voted in a half-cent sales tax because we want them to have the best opportunities possible for their school systems, but we have more seniors over 65 than we do kids under 18.
So that's
my only
correct.
Question is, what else can we do for seniors here?
Right. And the thing is, you know, you hit a real nerve with me there with the housing, because I do hear that often.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying, look, at, you know, I thought I would live with my son or my daughter. I thought one of them would take care of me. Look, I took care of them, but no, I stayed with them for 3 months. I have to leave. I've got to get a place. A one-bedroom apartment is $1,400.
Yep.
And there's a list for the apartments downtown Melbourne where seniors can go. I forgot the name
Trinity.
Of it. Trinity yeah, Towers.
Trinity
there's
Towers.
A list there. What else can we do to help people? I mean, this it is. I mean, you got to find common shared experiences with people. And as folks gets older, it's our role to talk to them and say, hey, how can I help?
You know, you're saying it so well, because, you know, one of the things, there's a registered nurse we work with. She has a home care agency, and she says, Carrie, please don't use the term affordable housing for seniors anymore, because she goes, it doesn't exist in our county. You know, if your Social Security check is $900 and somebody says, well, we can rent you this place and it's going to be $1,000, it might as well be $1,000,000, because you can't get food, you can't get your medicine, you can't get the things you need. So we are collectively trying to come up with solutions. There's some people that will do, just like we used to have to do, like in your college days, if you didn't have enough money, you'd roommate with somebody else. You have to find solutions, because I know people are working on solutions for affordable housing, but that even
they're being creative. I heard a mom say that she's paying her son rent to live in his home.
Absolutely.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Kerry Fink, and he is with the Seniors Helping Seniors. We're talking about all the mission of Seniors Helping Seniors is to improve the quality of life for Brevard senior population through information, advocacy, and resources. And in addition to doing all of this, they have events.
Yeah.
So talk to us with the remaining 6 minutes, about 5 minutes, about the events coming up at the Muscle Car Museum and how we can get our tickets and attend and support Seniors Helping Seniors.
You're so kind. You know, Joe Steckler, our president and founder, who's 90, going on 91, and every day he wakes up and he's writing articles and doing stuff to make life better for seniors. He was telling me, he said, you know, AJ Hires and I go back into the mid-90s with using cars as a way to raise money for charity. And so this is now our 8th annual Helping Seniors Car Raffle. And that means on a Sunday, October 27th, somebody's going to get keys to a brand new car from the Boniface Hires Auto Dealer Group. It's a choice of cars, which is why we call it Choose Your Adventure. There's everything in there, from a Chevrolet Colorado truck to picking out a Jeep Compass Sport. There's a couple of beautiful SUVs like the Mitsubishi Outlander, which our winner Diane Pelak chose last year. There's a sporty Dodge Hornet in there. There's all kinds of neat cars. But the point is, it's a fun way to raise money for our charity. And we, you know, as you know, if you're a nonprofit, you can only go as far as the people who support you will allow you to go. And so this is a great way to do it. You get a ticket. One ticket is $25. Five is $100. And what that does, each ticket is obviously a chance in the drawing. All the money goes to support the work of Helping Seniors. But the fun part is, I always go, somebody's going to get a key to a new car, but everybody's going to have a good time. You don't have to be present to win, but But if you're in town, you want to come out to Mark Pylock's American Muscle Car Museum. He's got close to 500. It's probably North America, if not the world's premier collection of muscle cars there, right here, downtown Melbourne, 3500 Sarno Road. So we're having a Sunday afternoon fun time, daylight hours, both sides, so it'll be easy to get to. We had 6,000 people show up last year, so we learned a thing or two. We said we wanted to be daylight on both sides, so it's easy to get to, easy to leave. But also, because the place really was crowded last year, this gives us the opportunity to do things inside the museum and outside the museum. So when you get a ticket, it's going to be a great afternoon. You get a ticket, you can actually bring a couple of kids with you for free. So each adult ticket, bring two kids 10 and under with you. And we're trying to make it a family-friendly, fun afternoon. And one of the things we're going to be focusing in addition to the 7 cars that we have up for grabs that the winner can choose from, and all of Mark Pylock's astounding collection, we're actually going to call this Choose Your Adventure, because we want to highlight some of the great things to do here in Brevard County. Like, when you have people come in from out of town and they visit us, they say, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, take us to Disney for a day or something. But then we talk about the things. We have so many great things right here in our hometown.
So people are tabling events.
Absolutely.
Will there be food?
There is going to be food trucks. There's going to be snacks. There's going to be all kinds of great
things. So give us the date and the time and the place one more time.
1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon, October 27th, last Sunday in October. We're going to be right there at the American Muscle Car Museum, 3500 Sarno Road.
And the website for the tickets and to volunteer with seniors, helping seniors, find some of the services you offer and all that?
Yeah, you can go to helpingseniorsofbrevard.org, helpingseniorsofbrevard.org, and you'll find out all about us as an organization. You can get your tickets there. All the details are right there. And we really appreciate the help, and thank you for having us on the air.
And you're always looking for people who want to volunteer and share their skill set with you as well.
100%. In fact, we've come a long way even since you were kind enough to have us on the radio last year. We do have a volunteer program. We have a place called Joe's Senior Resource Center at 1344 South Apollo Boulevard. It's the Omni Healthcare building. They gave us a big space there. So helpingseniorsofbrevard.org, and you can find out more about that there, too.
Right. And would you say, with the remaining couple of minutes, talk to our listeners quickly about trust and how important it is to trust and respect our seniors.
Oh, my goodness. You know, in the employment world, right, if you do very good at your job, you become the senior vice president. You become the senior whatever that title is. And, you know, we don't respect our seniors. You know, when Sheriff Ivey was in here, he was talking about the importance of family. We always think about that has to do with raising our kids, but it actually has to do with our senior generation as well, right? The kids should look up to grandma and grandpa because
for guidance,
we've learned something along the way, yeah. Right? And then secondly, the other side of it works around the other way, because for the seniors, there's a lot that we can learn from the younger generation, like how to use our smartphones. You know?
Yes. And Allie, you're shaking your head there with 20 seconds. You want to add something in?
Yes, I was going to ask one quick thing about the motor show. Is there handicap access?
Yes, there is.
Okay, that's good to know.
HelpingSeniorsCarRaffle.com.
All right. I swear to God, you know, I always think about seniors as part of an extension of us. We throw things away in this country, and I think maybe we need to stop coloring our hair. They respect you more if you have gray hair.
Maybe that's true.
Because it means experience. Every gray hair means experience.
Well, right. We will make sure that we share all of this great information. Carrie Fink, thank you so much for joining us today on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends. Make sure you check out the website, CETAMediaInc.com. We'll post all of that information. We'll see you next week.
And Sheriff Ivey, we thank him for coming.
Absolutely, we thank him for coming. We'll post all of this great information, and we'll see you next week here on Viewpoint with CETA and Friends, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.